Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tech Days 2016. Please welcome Caroline Phillips.
Wow. So good morning, Tech Days. Good morning, everybody at the back. And wow, what an audience. I'm really, really proud here to be able to welcome you to Tech Days 2016. And it's my first ever Tech Days in the Netherlands. So who in the room is also here at Tech Days for the very first time? Raise your hands. Wow. So I'm not in the minority, that's a good thing, but there's a lot of people who have been here to other previous Tech Days. And so on behalf of Microsoft and all of our partners and sponsors, it really is a pleasure to welcome you here today to our 16th edition of Tech Days. So for those of you who are familiar with Tech Days, we've got a lot of new things planned for you. Some things that you'll recognize, and then some new things, hopefully, which you'll also appreciate. So the first piece of news is that Tech Days is now bigger and better than ever. And testament to that is the fact that we sold out last night. So we have over 2,000 people attending here today. So thank you for joining us. But also thank you to everybody that's joining us on the live stream as well. We'll be streaming most of the keynotes live throughout the event as well. So welcome to those joining on the live stream. As with all TechEd editions, we always have an amazing lineup of speakers. And this edition is no exception. So today you're going to learn from industry experts. We have engineers here from the Microsoft teams in Redmond, as well as Microsoft experts here locally, and also from Belgium and other countries in Europe as well. All of the sessions are going to be available after the event as well. So if you can't get to two or three sessions, don't be afraid. We're recording everything, and they'll all be posted on acca.ms techdaysnl after the event. And as I said, if you've got colleagues here who couldn't make it today, we're streaming all of the keynotes live. So again, take a look at acca.ms techdaysnl because they can join us as well. Now, I know that everybody in the audience is a big fan of social media, and you like to continue the dialogue with us. So all the Microsoft folks around in the room, it's a great way to engage with us and the speakers, and the Twitter handle is up here. So please engage and please talk to us. And then last but not least is the reason why Tech Days is still here is based on your feedback. So please take time to give us feedback because this is how we continue to improve this event year over year. And you can do that in a couple of ways. You can do that through the Tech Days app, which hopefully most people, you downloaded already, or if not, through the website as well. But please do give us your feedback because it really does count. So I probably don't need to speak to this audience about the amount of change that we're seeing at the moment in the industry. Every day, something new happens. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, who'd have thought that we'd be hosting data in the cloud, storing public data in the cloud, storing secure data in the cloud? Well, many people probably wouldn't have thought that. So we live in a world of change, and every developer, DevOps engineer in this room, all of you are experiencing this fundamental shift. And it's something we need to figure out. How do we keep up to speed with it? So Microsoft has also been changing this world as well. And you probably hopefully seen that we have been doing as well. And as somebody that's been at Microsoft for 20 years, I'm somebody that's experienced a lot of change in this industry as well. And I think my main message to you is that Microsoft is really, really transforming and changing. But also we've been listening to your feedback, and we've also been transforming Tech Days as well. So what can you expect from Tech Days this year? Well, as I mentioned, some amazing speakers, some people that have been with us on this journey, the transformation journey over the last 5 or 6 years with us. So people from our engineering teams, including our opening keynote speaker, as well as Microsoft MVPs as well. What you're going to see a lot more, though, of is six different things at this event. So first thing you're going to see, and maybe surprisingly, is much more OSS. So much more OSS content, much more OSS speakers here. And maybe it's a surprise to some of you, but Microsoft is now the number one contributor to GitHub, and maybe not everybody knew that fact. Microsoft is now hiring a whole hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cloud architects around the world, including the Netherlands, and we're still hiring, and over 50% of these new cloud architects all have OSS skills. And again, that's maybe something you wouldn't have expected from Microsoft even 1, 2, 3 years ago. So Microsoft really is changing and embracing open source software. So the other thing you're going to see is a lot more cloud computing. As you know, Microsoft is betting really big in the cloud. We're making billion-dollar investments in Europe in our data centers here. And some of you may have seen the announcements yesterday from Satya, our CEO. We're announcing a couple new more data centers. And obviously, we're very fortunate here. We have the data center in North Holland as well. So you'll see more cloud computing. So in addition, we're bringing some new things to Tech Days as well, again, based on your feedback. And one of them is the mini hack zone. And all of these are actually on the first floor. So for those on the top tier, they're just literally outside the door here. But if you want to go check out your programming skills, win some prizes, and have a chance to come to the speaker dinner tonight, go check out the mini hack zone. That's during the break time. Next thing, again, going back to open source. As you know, Microsoft acquired Xamarin a few months ago now. And we're delighted today to have a Xamarin mobile experience area up on the first floor. And there, we're delighted to have Belastingdienst and the Dutch Railways. And they're going to be showcasing the apps that they built with using Xamarin. And there's also some great Xamarin partners there as well. And then last but not least, chance to speak to the speakers, because a few of you come up to me already and said, how do I speak to the keynote speaker, is go to the Experts Lounge. So you've got any questions after the sessions or you want to know more, go to the Experts Lounge on the first floor. And then last but very not least, we also have something new this year, which is Open Podium. Now that's a set of lightning presentations by startups, ISVs, and anybody that wants to present basically. And again, that's on the first floor as well. So as you can see, we've got a lot coming up. The best ways of staying in touch with what's going on is to download the Tech Days app. I'm delighted to announce that was built with Xperit, one of our partners, also using Xamarin as well. And if you want to find out how they did it, they're also running a session tomorrow at 12:45 as well. So I had to give our friends at Xperit a plug there. So, quick pause here, because we couldn't do Tech Days without the support of the community, without your support, but also the support of our partners and sponsors. So I want to take a moment to thank every single one of those that's been involved in Tech Days 2016. So if you join me in giving them a big round of applause, because we couldn't do it without them. So, as I mentioned, Tech Days is slightly different this year. We have an opening keynote, and I'm about to present the keynote speaker to you, so don't worry. That's only a couple more minutes away. But what we have after the opening keynote, as you've probably seen from the app, is a series of sessions called State of the Union. And these are new this year, and they're focused around key different technologies. So cloud, client, data and IoT, and DevOps. And last but not least, which is not in the schedule, we're also pleased to be running a CTO track here for the first time ever. So we have 40 CTOs in the audience joining us today from a variety of Dutch companies. And the CTO track will be held in G1 and 2, because it's not in the program. So, pause here. The keynote speaker. I asked him to send me a couple of pictures of himself that I could introduce him. So this is what he sent me. So I wonder if you can guess who this is. So the first one, I mean, he's obviously a kind of infrastructure guy because he's got his suitcase, and that's his infrastructure pretty much there in his suitcase. The second shot is more the business type. So maybe he's thinking about how he's going to monetize things in the future. But anyway, I was confused as well. So without further ado, I'd really like to give a warm welcome to the head of our Azure Compute. He's come all the way from Seattle. It's also his first Tech Days. So could I ask you to join me in welcoming on stage Corey Sanders.
Okay, thank you. Oh, we didn't do this. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. Yeah, actually, I've grown so quickly, just like the cloud has grown so quickly. These are actually pictures when we started Azure. So just, 4 or 5 years ago. So since I've really, we've learned a lot together. Okay, so my name is Corey Sanders, and as introduced, I'm in charge of the compute team in Azure. And I'm going to spend the next 7 or 8 hours walking you through all of the features that Azure has. No, just kidding. What I'm going to do actually is talk to you a little bit about the way in which the cloud is changing things. I'm going to talk a little bit about the way in which to use the cloud, how best to take advantage of this change, and actually let it fuel both the development that you're doing, the businesses you're working in, and change the overall ecosystem that you're a part of. So overall, the cloud is really changing expectations. It's changing the way companies work. And it's resulting in a lot of companies having to change or get out of the way. And some great examples of this: Netflix, of course, changing the way in which movies are working, changing the way in which people rent and watch media, not just for Blockbuster, which of course is a more tragic part of that story, but for a lot of the other companies around them, changing the way in which companies need to think about how they broadcast content and approach the way in which they engage with their users. Very, very much a big change in that overall ecosystem. Uber, of course, changing the way in which transportation works, the way rented transportation works. They've started a big shift, not just with other companies that are copying or similar to Uber, but also changing in the way taxis need to think. Taxis need to engage and operate with their customers. And so this is a major shift. Many companies are going to have to close their doors because of some of these changes if they're not able to keep up and offer services similar to what Uber has challenged customers as needing. And then Skype as a good example of one of many different types of communication services and solutions that, of course, are resulting in telephone businesses needing to change as well. The way in which telecom companies engage, the way in which they offer solutions, Skype and these products have dramatically changed expectations in this area. And so all of these are really resulting in massive shifts in industries that you wouldn't necessarily say are tech companies. You wouldn't necessarily say, yes, of course, you know, movie rentals are a tech company, but now of course they are. All movie companies are tech companies. You know, all transportation companies are tech companies, and all telephone companies are tech companies as well. And so this is a massive shift that's resulting in everything around it changing. And this digital transformation that's happening across all of these industries are happening in a few key areas. One, the need to engage customers more, the need to understand what your customers are doing, how they're using your products, how they're engaging with all the aspects of your ecosystem, very, very critical. Empowering your employees. So for many of you, you're probably working, you're developing solutions for internal offerings, internal capabilities. How do you empower your employees to do more with the tools that you've got and the capabilities that you're offering? Of course, optimizing, reducing cost. Cost becomes a driving factor for many of us, and how do we offer these solutions with the lowest cost possible? And I'm going to show you a few examples of that throughout. And of course, transforming products. You heard a little bit already about Xamarin and some of the opportunities here. I'll show you a little bit more about that today. But the ability to take solutions and offer much better products, much more advanced products, things that used to be not possible without the power of the cloud, cloud computing, and the agility offered therein. This is all going to be a major shift for pretty much every industry in the market. And so when you look at what Microsoft has to offer here, and I'm going to really focus mostly here on the bottom left, the intelligent cloud platform, but what Microsoft has to offer spans the full spectrum from creating more personal computing, engaging with your users, engaging with your customers in a more advantageous way and intelligent way, reinventing productivity, and of course, building that intelligent cloud. And some of the customers that have already taken advantage of this and used this, existing customers that have changed the way they work, BMW offering IoT-based solutions to make their cars much easier to use and much more fun to use. NBC taking that learning from Netflix and becoming more of a communication solution on the web than necessarily a broadcast solution on the set-top box, and offering things like the Olympics and the Super Bowl in the States available streaming live on their website. And then Alaska Airlines offering a much more engaged personal experience on their apps. all of these are the companies, existing companies, big companies, who are employing and engaging new development mechanisms, new development techniques and solutions in order to make sure they are competing in this transformation, because as mentioned, if they aren't, they're gone, right? And this is really one of the big shifts that's happening. It's a generational shift, and for a lot of these companies, if you're not keeping up, you're probably getting out of the way. And so this journey to the cloud runs across a bunch of different spectrums, whether it be productivity side, Office 365, Dynamics, or cloud side. And I'm going to spend most of the time talking about the right three, whether it be Azure, intelligence, or some of the security and management solutions that we offer. And all this comes together to build you a single Microsoft cloud, global, trusted, and hybrid. So for this single Microsoft cloud, as I mentioned, global, one of the things that's incredibly exciting and constantly changing, so much that even my slides are out of date from yesterday's announcements, we are constantly adding more regions to try and get closer and closer to customers. So even just yesterday, this has now moved to 36 because we announced a couple more, and those two more in France. And so this has now already grown to a larger number, always getting closer to our customers and trying to engage. But it's not just how many there are. It's also the scale and the magnitude of each one of these. And so let me actually show you a video of what one of these looks like. Now, I'm a software guy at heart, but when I see that, it makes me want to go work in hardware, right? I mean, it's just so intense. I actually listen to that song on loop in my office. It's very emotional. It makes me want to get up in the morning. So, no, it's a very, very exciting thing. It's one of these interesting aspects of working in the cloud. It's a sort of a unique experience for me in that, you know, went to school, computer science degree, studied languages and programming and algorithms and so on, and now I'm in meetings and we talk about dirt density. And it's not where my training is, but it's fun nonetheless. And so you can see what these buildings look like, the intensity that comes into offering each one of these regions, and this is really where you can imagine sort of the future of the cloud and how this is going to constantly change the way all of technology is done moving forward. So on top of that global coverage and that breadth and that scale, of course, offering the most trusted cloud, offering more certifications, attestations, many different government controls in place to be able to make sure customers feel secure, safe, and confident that the data that they've got deployed is going to be taken care of, that it's going to be watched after, and that they don't have to worry about what may happen or rules or regulations that may interfere. And so this is a very important aspect of what we offer. And of course, our hybrid offering one of the most unique hybrid solutions in the public cloud business, offering connectivity both from a productivity side, but also from a management side and from a full infrastructure side with Azure Stack. So that full hybrid story coming together with that trusted and global story, offering a very, very unique overall Azure cloud. And of course, being ready for any enterprise deployment. This is sort of a great picture of Gartner Magic Quadrant leadership positions that we hold, and comparing across many of the other providers. This runs just including infrastructure, but it also includes a full range of database and other different Gartner Magic Quadrant expectations that we focus on. And this really sort of plays out both the development side of the house, but also the enterprise focus that we have and how the Azure Cloud really brings these things together. So let me just talk a little bit about what a couple of customers are doing with this Azure Cloud, and then I'm going to dig in a little bit more on the overall application strategy that the cloud can employ. So we've seen a huge outpouring and growth of enterprise customers deploying on this infrastructure and on this cloud story. A wide variety, as you can see up here, of different solutions, IoT solutions, scale-out solutions, lift and shift solutions, many of them net new applications delivering in this new age, many of them offering new experiences and new solutions for their customers. A couple of really key examples to call out. One, Schneider Electric. So Schneider Electric is, of course, based and headquartered in France, but they are offering electric services to many, many customers across hundreds of countries. And that growth, that breadth that they have to do and manage, they've now added another layer of technology on top using our IoT system. So they're using our IoT system and our analytics system to be able to take data coming in from sensors and be able to best understand how to divert electric power, how to understand how the reusable energy that they're using is being used by their customers, and how to take advantage of that in the most optimal way. So they're offering their customers a better experience, they're reducing their costs using this IoT pipeline in a way that could never have been possible. The analytics that's capable with this full end-to-end pipeline is, of course, completely net new experience for them in building this solution. And then another one, a very different one, Jet.com. So Jet.com is actually employing innovative pricing techniques to try and compete with companies like Amazon.com in an e-commerce system. So how do they sell their products in such a way that they can actually more effectively compete with those larger guys out there already and offer the cloud to be able to innovate very, very quickly on this? And so let's see a video on what Jet.com is actually doing on Azure.
I think it's a great time to be an entrepreneur. I love the idea of starting something from nothing. At Jet.com, I saw an opportunity to transform e-commerce by focusing and innovating around price to, in real time, reprice products according to what's in people's baskets.
In order to do that, our pricing engine needs to continually evaluate tens of millions of products across thousands of merchants. There's continually tens of billions of operations going on to provide the lowest prices online. We're not in the business of creating new databases, new queuing methodologies, new storage mechanisms. Being able to leverage all the services and tools that are on the Azure platform, and we've gone from zero to a fully fledged e-commerce marketplace in about 12 months.
We already have 400,000 people signed up, and at launch, there's the potential for millions of people to hit the website to get to billions of dollars in top line revenue. To be able to handle that level of scale would not be possible if it weren't for the cloud. We can sleep at night knowing that we're using Microsoft Azure cloud services.
So one of the key points that they mentioned as part of the different services that they're using, of which I'm going to walk through here for the rest of the keynote, they're taking advantage of some of the services that we've got, some of the multiple application services we've employed and the data services, to gain a level of agility that they've never been able to get on their own. And this is one of the key overriding factors that you'll hear throughout, which is this agility, this ability to change quickly, to be able to update very fast. This is the key to how these companies are succeeding and how they're transforming themselves. And then our services are really geared towards offering that agility. This is the big shifts in the cloud that you're going to see, whether it be containers, whether it be microservices. It is all geared towards offering that higher level of agility, being able to change and update very, very quickly, because that is really how competition is going to happen. And as we look at some of these changes that have happened for our customers, we've also changed along the way as well. And so if you look at sort of the start of the Azure platform, we really started as a very limited PaaS platform. A very exciting PaaS platform. It was really geared towards, again, this future vision. The way we started was the people are changing, technology's changing, development's changing. We want to make sure we offer an agile platform where people don't worry about any of the infrastructure anymore. And that's really how we started with Azure. We ended up adding infrastructure with the realization that infrastructure and virtual machines were a part of the overall system. They were going to help with that level of agility, not constrain from it. And so we offered both together when we brought out infrastructure as a service. We've then added and extended our platform offerings, which I'll talk quite a bit more about throughout, offering DevOps solutions and much better platform offerings, very fast serverless solutions that make you that enable you to update and change things very, very quickly. And this, of course, added on top with containers and microservices, fairly recent additions to the overall platform, again, continuing to extend this agility and this promise of change. And then finally, intelligence, offering that intelligence platform, and even just last week, some of the announcements Satya made around advanced intelligence, augmented intelligence, being able to take a look at your environment and learn from it and then apply it. These things are also changing the way in which people are developing and, of course, allowing change to happen very, very quickly. The overriding factor below, of course, all of this changing with a lot more open source. As we've continually progressed, more and more open source has been layered on top, whether it be Linux, whether it be Node, whether it be Go, whether it be containers from Docker. All of these have changed throughout this progression and continue to expand the amount of offers that we have. And of course, that global coverage has also dramatically grown as well. And so as you look at the way in which we've changed, it does really mirror the way we're seeing a lot of development change in the environments and in the ecosystem. And so this application transformation, it really is about agility. And as I've mentioned, as these platforms have continued to progress, that agility has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. And so when you look here, this agility goes into three big areas. One being infrastructure agility, app modernization and DevOps, and then intelligence and agility. And these all come together to offer a new age of development to allow that transformation to truly happen. So let me start with infrastructure. Since it's the product I work on, it's my favorite. Anyway, no, I like it. The first way to start, of course, is with virtual machines. And this agility is being able to start VMs really quickly, be able to scale them out really quickly. It is sort of the core part of the platform of which all the other parts of our platform are built on top. So this is the underlying layer. It offers the most flexibility of what you run, but it also offers, of course, you're still dealing with virtual machines and managing them and so on. Now, this, of course, offers a wide variety of operating systems, DevOps extensions, Chef and Puppet integration in a fully automated way, and quite a few sizes that you can choose from. And this, again, extends out that agility to be able to choose how you want to deploy and what you want to deploy. And so even just these last few weeks, we've announced a wide variety of new sizes, more than doubling, our size offers that we have in Azure, where we started with just the A, the DB2, and the G, where our G series is that high memory, a large SSD size. And we've extended out to include the F series, compute intensive, the NVIDIA GPU SKU, so that's our N series, which I'm going to show you here in a demo, that allows both deep learning and also great visualization. And then our fast HPC series and our L series, which again is large SSDs but with less memory. And the idea, the goal behind having these sizes is to give that agility back to you. You can pick and choose. You can start things quickly. This breadth, this opportunity to deploy the best size for your app at your time, very, very critical. And so like I mentioned, the N series, this has really started to take off and really launched a new era of computing. This AI, this augmented intelligence, this artificial intelligence capability that we now offer, it's fueling so many different industries. With increasing our public safety to be able to take pictures from cameras and detect who people are on the fly and be able to find missing children or find suspects for a problem. Being able to take learning from a robot and be able to direct customers on sort of how to go find their hotel room in a large complex. Or in this third example, one of my favorite, being able to take a visual view from this tractor and be able to spray weeds based on identifying them as the tractor is flying through the field. Instead of spraying the entire field for weeds, this tractor now can see the weeds and sprays them individually as it's going through the field. What an amazing savings of both the amount of weed, pesticide that you need to have, but also, of course, the overall ecosystem environment improvement that you can get from that type of change. And this support, this all comes from two big aspects. When you're doing this deep learning, this analysis, there's two big parts. One, training, where you're learning from things and you're sort of trying to understand and go through this neural network. And that's the left side here. And so this is where huge amounts of computation is required. You're going through sample upon sample, pictures of what weeds look like over and over and over again. And this then goes into a learning algorithm that then is used on the right side for inferencing. So when the actual tractor is driving, it's using the learnings from that neural network after going through thousands and thousands of those pictures to be able to try and identify them live as it's actually driving around. And it's the left side where CPUs today are very, very inefficient at running this. And this is where GPUs are really starting to take off. And one of the most powerful things we're seeing on the GPU side is this deep learning capability that we've enabled. And sort of to show this a little bit, we actually have a video that shows a little bit of this capability. And so with this video, what we're doing here is we did learning based on a Picasso painting, or a set, hundreds of Picasso paintings, and applied it live to a running video. So you can see here, this running video is taking the eyesight of this train driving by, people on a subway carousel here, and applied the Picasso learning as its inference to it, right? So after learning the Picasso experience, this now has changed this picture to make it look, of course, like a Picasso painting, and this is all happening real time, again, with the power of those GPUs. You can, of course, do it with any sort of picture that you want. And so with that, actually, why don't I show you just a brief demo of what some of this powerful training can do. And so in this demo, what I'm going to show you here is I'm going to show you the differences between what learning can do and then what the inferencing can do between CPU and GPU. And so here on the left side here, you'll see I'm actually going to run a learning algorithm. What this is doing is it's going to read a set of handwriting that I've written for this. It's sort of a set of content to be able to detect numbers written on a piece of paper. So here on the left side, I'm actually going to hit go on this. And then I'm going to go to the right side, and I'm going to run the GPU version. And so, like I said, this is running through samples and samples and samples of handwriting. And what it's doing is it's reading it. It's actually upwards of 80,000 different samples of handwriting that this is going through to try and learn with a neural network what a number written on a piece of paper will look like to be able to turn it back into an answer, right? And so to tell you, great, this is what that number looks like. And so you can see here on the right, if you see as this is running here, it's running about 12,000 samples a second. If you see sort of the numbers that are popping up here on the bottom right. And this is the GPU side. And then here on the CPU side, it's running about 800 samples a second. So the difference between what this learning algorithm can do, this is running CNTK, which is an open source learning algorithm that comes from Microsoft Research. You can see the difference in power that you can get from both the GPU side in the learning, and then, of course, the CPU side, much smaller numbers. The other thing to note here on the right side, I've got a little chart here that shows you how much of the GPU is being used. And so about 78% of the GPU is running. These are both running on instances in Azure. So both of these are running in the public cloud. And like I said, this is running through about 80,000 of these inferences of these pieces of document running. And see, right side is done, completed. The left side still going here. It's going to be quite a while. So let me actually show you. So I've done now the learning. That was the left side of that picture, the learning. I've gone through 80,000 samples. So now let's actually do and see how the inferencing works. So what I'm going to write a single number between 1 and 10, 1 and 9. Who's got a number that I could? It's hard to write? 7. That's not a hard one to write, but I will do it just to prove that this isn't a setup, although it could have been a plant. No. All right, let me save that here, and then I'm going to run the inferencing on this. And so you can see, uh-oh. Maybe it was harder than I thought here. That looks like a 7, right? Hold on, let me just save it again here. Maybe I needed to run it a little bit more here. Looks like it, hold on, now I'm gonna try another number. Let's see how this one works. It says 2 again. Oh, 3, it worked! Hey! All right. Did I draw the 7 wrong? Hold on. All right, I got to try 7 again here. Let's try 7 again. Is that a 7? That's a 7, right? Okay. Maybe I'm... Okay. 7 doesn't work, guys. All right. I've never tried 7 before, so whoever gave that to me, thanks. My goodness. Well, let's get back to the slides, please. Wow. Well, so you can see that maybe I needed to learn a little bit more, or maybe I need to learn a little bit more from my own handwriting, but at least the 3 work, so you know that I didn't just make it up, I guess. Okay, so, and that just shows you some of the power that's possible, and the need for agility, because when you find things don't work, you need to change them quickly. So that gets me into the next section, which is containers. Containers have really changed the landscape of what agility even means. The ability to scale and deploy containers in microseconds versus what used to be multiple seconds, even minutes, has dramatically changed expectations around applications. And so scaling at the speed of containers has dramatically changed what we all need to do when it comes to development needs. So why containers? Well, again, first, very fast and agile, being able to spin up incredibly fast, spin down incredibly fast. But the key thing here that's also dramatically changed the way in which we develop is a unified development format or deployment format. Being able to take a same exact container, deploy it on your dev box, deploy it on your test box, maybe that's in the cloud, deploy it on prod, maybe that's in cloud or on-prem, taking containers and move these around, build, ship, and run, it has dramatically improved that agility. It's created an incredible opportunity to simply deploy everywhere very, very quickly. And so let me just give just a quick point on sort of the science of containers and why this is. So the first at the bottom here is the traditional virtual machine, which of course is a full hardware virtualized. And so all aspects of that running instance, whether it be OS, whether it be application, all of it needs to be encapsulated together. It needs to be carried together. This is why it's not as movable. It's not as mobile. It's a big thing. The full OS is there, and the virtualization happens at that hardware level. When you go up to containers, the thing that's dramatically changed with containers is containers now virtualize at the OS level. So now it's not just the hardware that's virtualized, but the OS itself is virtualized. And then all you're carrying around is the app, right? So when you carry around a container, you carry around a Docker container, it's the app that moves. The OS isn't there. The OS gets pulled from underneath and shared. So obviously you're getting a lot more density, but this is also why things start so fast and also why they're so mobile, because you don't have to worry about any of the underlying pieces. All you're caring about is that application. And the same story is true. You can make an application that deploys onto Windows and it pulls from the Windows container recently launched with Server 2016. But also you can deploy and create a Linux container and pull from that Linux OS as well. And so very, very powerful capability to take these containers and move them around. Again, you can move them from environment to environment. And so, of course, the next big aspect is, well, now I need to go manage my containers, because you're no longer going to have 7, 8, 9 virtual machines. You're going to have hundreds, thousands of these containers moving around. And so this is where container service comes in, and this is where these orchestration solutions become very, very powerful. They enable you to go manage hundreds, thousands of these containers on infrastructure. So sitting on top of whether it be physical hardware in your on-prem environment, whether it be in one of the cloud environments, you can deploy these orchestration solutions like Swarm, like DCOS, and launch them in both. The Azure Container Service enables you to launch this very quickly and easily in Azure. And so these are fully open source solutions. 100% of the Azure Container Service is open source, which makes it very easy to move around. And it streamlines this deployment of containers. So if you're building containers, you're managing your app this way, and you need a way to go deploy this on infrastructure, the Azure Container Service is going to be your mechanism. It supports both Linux and Windows, and of course will run in both the on-prem environment on Azure Stack, on physical hardware, or in the public cloud. And it's worth just spending a minute talking about how these containers layer and why it's important to make sure you're thinking about the different portions of your application in this way. So at the very bottom is the hosting options. As I've mentioned, these solutions, because they're fully open source, can run on dev machines, can run on servers, can run on VMs, can run on cloud infrastructure, can run on any cloud infrastructure. Doesn't have to be Azure. It should be, obviously, but doesn't have to be. And you can run these solutions on any of these mechanisms, which is what makes them so portable. Then add on top of this open source orchestration. All these solutions have major open source components to them, whether it be Kubernetes, DCOS, Swarm, Docker Data Center. All of these can be deployed on any of these hosting options. And the container service, of course, consists of these two, always growing and looking to expand as well. But that's the focus that we've had with the container service. But all of these, of course, work on Azure beautifully. And then your deployment. This is really just the operating system. So are you Linux? Are you Windows Server? Or are you Hyper-V container? And this all comes down to the nature of your app and what you're trying to do with it. But the app itself doesn't care. So your app that you're writing shouldn't care. It then becomes just a packaging conversation of which one of these you want. And then, of course, your code at the top. Whether it be .NET, whether it be Node, whether it be Go, all these solutions can then go plug in. And the power of this entire story end-to-end, is, of course, all of the infrastructure layering that you can do on top of any environment. But the power of this is that the code is so separated from the hosting options below. And that's really where that agility comes in. So the point that I mentioned about agility driving a lot of these changes, the separation between the app and the hosting is what gives you that agility. It gives you that ability to move around. And this is really why when we look at the future of the platform and why we look at the future of development, we think containers everywhere is a key factor here. So when you see that separation of app versus hosting, suddenly it simplifies all of the decisions you have to make. You don't have to tell us, I'm writing this in Go, do you support Go? I'm writing this in Node, do you support Node? It doesn't matter. If it's written in with a container, it's going to work. And this is really, when you think of platforms moving forward, going to be a big connecting point across all the platforms, is supporting containers everywhere. And then suddenly the biggest question is, do you have the CI/CD solutions that I want? Are you offering me the ability to update and deploy in an incredibly easy way? And with Azure, of course, our support for VSTS, but also great support for Jenkins and open source tooling that you can deploy with CI/CD, makes this incredibly easy across the entire platform. And this really is the future. The next wave of development and simplification and agility comes with these two lines. This does lead me to an important point. These last few slides have all been open source solutions. They've all been focused on enabling open source capabilities. And it really has been a big shift for us in Azure around how do we bring agility and power to all of you by making sure open source breadth is not only possible but fantastic on the Azure platform. And so this choice, this flexibility, this agility that's offered with open source is incredibly powerful at any layer in the stack. So whether it be the management layer, whether you're doing it with things like DCOS or Puppet or Chef, Ansible, Salt, whatever, the ability to deploy, manage, engage your code in all of those ways creates a great simplification for that overall story. Whether it be the application level for platform as a service offerings, to be able to deploy with Pivotal Cloud Foundry or deploy with Drupal or Prenda, all of these offering solutions and choice on Azure. App frameworks, code languages, Node, Go, Java, etc., in addition to .NET, of course, being open source as well. Database solutions and, of course, infrastructure, all offering a wide variety of choice and flexibility on the platform. And one that I wanted to spend just an extra minute on was these PaaS offerings. This is something we're seeing a lot of growth on Azure, and it really is a good indication, again, of that agility, of that desire to deploy applications quickly. The growth that we're seeing with these PaaS solutions, Cloud Foundry being a massive outpouring of deployment, OpenShift, Kubernetes is growing quite a bit as well, JLastic and Apprenda too. And we're seeing just massive amounts of new applications being built to these PaaS solutions. And we work very closely with these partners to make sure that their solutions are going to work great on top of the Azure infrastructure. And in fact, Cloud Foundry, Pivotal Cloud Foundry, we have that GA launch here in the next coming weeks to have the GA support for Pivotal on top of Azure infrastructure. So that leads me to the next major section, app modernization and DevOps. So I've talked a lot about infrastructure, and of course I love infrastructure, but we're really seeing the stack move up. We're seeing a lot of passion and desire and energy going up the stack, offering more modernization in the app, less server management, and more DevOps-based experiences. And this is really where a lot of the next wave of the Azure platform is going. And you can see Docker layering on top of all of this as well. So first, microservices. So this is a new and exciting platform, pattern to be able to develop against. And for microservices, this is really taking that platform approach and rethinking the development model. So what used to be a three-tier model, what used to be an approach where you take web and you take business logic and you take data, it now turns into a bunch of different services and solutions coming together. So your web layer now turns into three distinct layers. And the reason why this has become so popular in the container age is it's very easy to use containers to be able to build these distinct microservices to be able to deploy. But the key thing here is each one of these is individually built, deployed, and updated. So the very, very big value that microservices brings is that agility. You now can update each one of these individually. What before used to say, hey, I want to go update the web tier. I need 7 different teams to be involved. We need to run through a 4-week test pass to make sure it doesn't break anything. And then maybe we'll be able to deploy this into production. Now, each one of these could be managed by its own team. Each one can be updated fully individually without engaging any of the other teams, giving, again, that level of agility that today is very, very hard with this type of application pattern here on the left. And so each one is small, it's independent, they're individually built, and they have distinct APIs connecting them. So this is an important aspect. Each one of these has to have APIs talking to each other so that they can be updated individually. And that contract needs to be very flushed out. So this takes work. This is a rewrite. You have to really think through your app to be able to write in this way. But once you do, you do get a loosely coupled model to enable you to be able to update each one individually. And this is really pushing the platform forward. It's pushing development forward. It is a great usage of course, using the cloud, but then also containers to be able to deploy new application models. And we're seeing a big shift in this way. And I do think it's going to drive a lot of the next wave of development in the cloud as people look to this. The nice thing is, of course, you can do this on top of the container service, as I mentioned, drawing upon a bunch of different containers to deploy there. You can also do this using Azure Service Fabric, which is effectively a built-in platform to enable this type of microservice-based development. So with Azure Service Fabric, it's a prescriptive environment that allows you to build, deploy, update, and manage these microservices. So it supports both Windows. We announced Linux support last week, which is great. We also have support to run on-prem and in the public cloud. And so this is really, it's a first step. This is a path that we're going to see a lot of development on across a lot of different platforms. But this is a great first step to develop against a microservice solution, very simple to use, and of course built into the Azure platform. Deploy on Azure, Azure Stack, and with the standalone version, you can even deploy on things like VMware, OpenStack, or even AWS. And so that's the microservice focus. As you move up the stack even further, you start looking at solutions like Azure App Service. So Azure App Service takes this concept of developing code and deploying to the next level. With Azure App Service, you're not even managing servers. You don't even know about the servers. You don't know about the infrastructure at all. All you're managing is your app. And this really gets to that top tier of what agility looks like. The expectation that I'm going to code a web app, and I'm going to deploy it, and then I'm going to update it and maintain it. but I'm never going to see my infrastructure. Same thing with my mobile app. And this, again, is taking that development story one level even higher. And so web apps specifically offering support for .NET, Java, PHP, Node, and Python to develop against this, write this, and deploy almost instantaneously and get this up into the cloud, built-in load balancer, built-in autoscale. This is truly the epitome of where you get that agility. You can deploy a web app almost immediately. And this Jet.com, as you saw earlier, they are deploying with web apps using App Service to get that high availability, but then also get that agility. They love not managing servers at all. You can use this same model to deploy mobile apps. And so mobile apps is a very similar model, but with this you can deploy, whether it be for iOS or Android, for Windows apps, developing for Xamarin, all of this, of course, sitting on top of that lack of infrastructure management. And it makes it very, very powerful to be able to do this type of autoscale, to be able to deploy to a wide variety of solutions and yet take advantage without having to do any management of the infrastructure at all. And finally, as part of that app service environment, going even one step higher, Azure Functions. So Azure Functions takes that promise of no servers even higher. With Azure Functions, you are triggering your app based on an event. So an event comes in, and you're saying, great, with that event, I'm going to execute this little snippet of code. And it runs natively with Node or C Sharp. You can code it directly into the portal experience. And with this, you trigger, you launch, and then it shuts down automatically. Not only is there no server there, but there's actually no payment other than for the execution of that code itself. So this is really that next level of agility even higher, where suddenly you're not managing servers, you're not paying for servers, you have code and you have events. Events run, code executes, done. Your app is over. And this is really that highest amount of agility you can get because, of course, you can update things immediately. The next event, it'll pick up the next set of code and so on. And typically, this is called a serverless model. This enables you to run without, again, any concept of that underlying service, takes the code with the events and data and brings it together. This, of course, also fully open source runtime. You can run this anywhere. Very, very powerful capability. And so the combination of these, you look up and down the stack on the app side, whether you go from microservices deployed with Service Fabric, going up to web apps and mobile apps with App Service, and then functions at the top, enabling these capabilities to deploy at an event-based model. And across this whole stack, you've got an amazingly agile set of options to develop against. So how do you bring it all together? Well, and this is really what's exciting about what Microsoft offers. When you bring all of these different platforms together, whether it be microservices, whether it be web mobile apps, whether it be functions, you then need to start thinking about how you're going to develop against them. With Visual Studio, of course, offering an IDE, one of the best around, most complete that you can find, then adding on top of that the open source solutions that Visual Studio Code has and the DevOps experiences that VSTS can bring, you have a full, complete developer experience. And with VSTS, this is just a fantastic experience that you can deploy against. VSTS offering a full end-to-end experience for developers, whether running on top of Windows, running on top of Macs. You plug into the code repository, you do build and deploy from there. Then, of course, you can do a test experience on top of that, and do beta testing, even monitoring analytics, and publish. And this is that DevOps experience that everyone's looking for. You can imagine this sitting on top of Service Fabric, sitting on top of App Service, sitting on top of functions. And so this is really that agility come to the top, where you now can manage across all of these different environments and be able to deploy and test and engage very, very quickly, all with those experiences on top. So with this, let me actually show you what this looks like end-to-end. Let me just log in here. Oh, there's the sit. What a letdown that was. All right. Let's get this. Let's get that. Let's never look at that again, actually. so here you've got, I've got a web app already running. So what I've done here, and if you see, if you come to some of the other sessions in the next couple days, you can dig into more. I've got demos of functions and demos of building app service and so on. But at this point, I've already got a web app running. And it's a fairly simple one. It's running, and I've configured it here. It's live, and so it's a very, very simple sort of the standard website just to show you sort of what this looks like. And so it's just a standard ASP.NET website. and so you can see I've got the monitoring set up, and I can go and configure all the deployment options here on the left. And so this took about, let's say, about 30 seconds to create. In fact, I created it directly using Visual Studio. And so you can see here is the actual website, and it's live and running. So if I go into the Visual Studio experience, and so here, I've got the full website here on the right, and I can go in and I can modify it, I can update it, I can sort of make the changes that I want to go make, and so here, you know, obviously web config here, I can go play around with it and make the updates that I want. But the updates that I actually want to make here, just to kind of give you an example of what this looks like, I'm just going to go in and change the layout on the action link. And you can see I actually incorrectly called it Dev Days. And I apologize for that. I think that was the name like 7 years ago. So this demo is from 7 years ago. No, just kidding. Anyway, but I will change this to properly Tech Days here in this section. And so that's the action link. So I saved that. And then the beautiful part about this, and as I mentioned a little bit about the VSTS experience, that Visual Studio Team Services experience, directly integrated here into Visual Studio, I've now got a change that's live. You see it tells me layout is updated. So I can now make a comment here and say changing of action link. Okay. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to say commit all and push. Okay, so created locally, and it looks like it pushed up, and away it goes. And so what this is now doing is this is connecting to my experience with VSTS. And so VSTS is connected on top of this web app solution. It's connected on top of this web experience that I've got, and it knows how to talk Azure. So it's already built into that experience how to talk Azure. But the first thing it's doing is actually doing CI. So if I go here and I actually go, I've got the Team Services page set up here. And so this is sort of my overall experience for Team Services. I can manage here who has access, who gets to update things, who gets to change things. So I can manage my full team experience right here. But I just set off a build. So this is the CI part of the story. And so here you can see I've got a build in progress. Let me click on this and sort of see what it's doing here. Okay, so see here's a build running, and so it keeps track of that build. It's running right on master. And so this kicked off automatically based on me submitting that code, right? And so you can see here it's actually coming. It's got a console agent that's running. It's already at the test stage, and looks like it just finished testing. And so this is sort of a great example of agility slash laziness, which is my perfect world right there, where I was able to submit this code, able to make the change, and I can walk away. I can do an entire presentation while this is just running for me. And so it looks like it's done at this point. And so the build ran fully automated for me, and now I can go in. The test ran as well. So let me actually click in here and see the actual details of the build. So it actually tells me all the details of what ran, the test results. So you can see all my tests passed. And so the test pass percentage, how long they took to run, all of this right here in front of me. And now, in addition to that CI story, which is, of course, the build side of the house, I now can go into the release side of the house and take a look and see how the actual release is going. And so it looks like the release is ongoing here. Okay, and so it looks like, and you can see here it's deploying to that app service environment that I've got live. And so for this case, I'm just going to go update it live here. And so let's see if I hit refresh on this. And there you can see the upper left, it changed to Tech Days NL. So The web app got updated, it built, it deployed, and it changed this live, again, without me touching anything. And that really is the full story, that VSTS capability that sits on top. And so whether you're deploying with something like a Service Fabric, something like App Service, web apps, mobile apps, whether you're deploying with something like Azure Functions, having the ability to manage this all here is really key. And so you can, again, think the vision. You've got Docker containers everywhere, simplifying that deployment story, and then you've got CI/CD as that management interface sitting on top. Suddenly your entire development experience end-to-end is dramatically simplified, and this is a good example and worked a lot better than that pesky 7. So should we try one more? No, I'm not gonna. I don't wanna tempt it. Maybe one of my sessions I will. So let's go back over to the slides. Okay. And so that really is that power that you can imagine on top of those dev experiences. Now take that and go into the device itself. Go onto that actual mobile device, and this is where Xamarin really completes the story. So with Xamarin, an acquisition that we recently made, this allows you to develop in a single language that then will deploy across many, many different mobile devices. Incredibly powerful. But then layer on top of that the ability to test all of those devices with Xamarin Test Cloud, to be able to go through the experiences that shows every live device, runs through a set of tests and color checking and so on, to be able to validate that your mobile app is going to work. So now you've got the back-end side of the house on Azure, you've got the device side on Xamarin, and of course you've got the full management experience with VSTS, and suddenly that whole development end-to-end, incredibly powerful. And Xamarin has really, really changed the face of a lot of enterprises, a lot of large companies, small companies, loved by developers, but of course used by many, many different enterprises. You can see sort of the wide list here, and I made sure that the Dutch tax office right in the middle there. There's a few Sogetti as well. There's a lot of partners on this list. I got to make sure I get them all. Okay, no, I'm not. I think those are the most important one. Anyway, so. But with that, let me actually roll a video of some of the capabilities that people have used Xamarin for in their development.
Xamarin allows our team to get to market faster than our competition.
Xamarin is a platform that works for native development on iOS, Android, and Windows.
It allows us to not need to focus on all the different development tools, but allow us to write a better code and provide better features.
Xamarin Test Cloud allows us to push our app to over 2,000 real devices, both mobile phones and tablets, across a matrix of operating systems and device types so that we can get the kind of coverage we would never be able to support in-house. Pinterest is a very visual tool to be testing, so Xamarin makes sense in terms of its live devices testing the physical app just like a user would use it. Working with Xamarin Test Cloud is giving us the confidence to get to our next 100 million users.
With 2.3 million daily active users, there are a lot of people that rely on Slack. Finding issues and bugs and being able to report that really shows the value of the automation that we're building.
The Xamarin Test Cloud had the ability to run our automation against a huge, huge device library that they offered, as well as the reporting back that Xamarin gives us after the tests are complete is very detailed, allows us to look at different types of app usage data, battery usage data, and then of course looking at the actual stack traces of failures and logs was extremely important as well.
We have a great collaboration with LEGO, which is trying to enable students to find that love of engineering through robotics. The combination of Visual Studio, .NET, and Xamarin provide that very scalable bridge from desktop to mobile.
If I can write one piece of code and it works everywhere, that makes me very happy.
Xamarin is sick. It's crazy the kind of stuff you can do with this product.
I agree with him. It is sick. I do love the Xamarin product, and I hope that you will play with some of the examples that we have here to be able to play and learn from this. So Okay, so the very last, after you figure out that DevOps agility, after you figure out how to deploy that full end-to-end platform experience on top of Azure, the very last component, which I've already touched a little bit on, is this intelligent agility, or using the cloud for gaining your intelligence and building out new solutions and analytics. And this is really changing in a lot of different industries. We're seeing a lot of growth around taking advantage of machine learning, taking advantage of this full pipeline to be able to pull out analytics that were never possible before. And it all starts with the incoming data. And so the incoming data is a set of different things, whether it be sensor device data, like from Schneider Electric, whether it be purchasing data, like from Jet.com, whether it be user data, the ways in which people are using devices, like Alaska Airlines. All of these are different styles of data that are coming into the system. And it's really key, no matter what industry or what app you're building, understanding the data that's coming in is very critical to being able to pull out insight and improve your app, your customer experience, and the business results on the back end. And once you've got this data coming through, your next big set of questions are what happened, right? Understanding exactly how that data interacted and what the results of that data was. Understanding why did it happen? Trying to understand, you know, why did the data result that way? Why was the sensor reporting that? Why did the user interact that way? But then you start getting into the really interesting stuff, which is what will happen. Predictive analytics is key here. Being able to predict when things will fail. Predict the way in which people will purchase things based on the way they acted previously. And then what should I do about it? How do I convert this into truly actionable business results or app results and change things on the fly? And so this is really less of a factor of being able to update things quickly, but more knowing what are the right things to update. What are the aspects of your app that need to be changed, and how can you go and predict that without having to wait until customers use it extensively? You can actually start predicting ahead of time the way in which your app needs to change. So all of this comes through and takes advantage of the overall Cortana intelligence platform that we offer. And you can see the future of this is just growing and growing and growing. You can imagine the usage of GPUs to be able to predict more and more, to learn from these solutions, and be able to find outcomes because of them. And so as you take this information coming in and you turn it into a management of that information, whether it be storing into many different platforms that we offer, and then, of course, using big data, Hadoop solutions, whether it be HD Insight as part of our platform or a partner solution like Cloudera, and being able to take that data and being able to understand insight from it. Then machine learning, one of the more exciting and growing parts of our platform, to be able to do predictive analytics on that data as it comes through the system, and then, of course, turn that into a visualization that you can learn from, a visualization that you can study and watch using the analytics pipelines and the overall Power BI solution that we have here in the end. And take all of that data through and then plug it back into your overall systems, whether it be visualization with Power BI, whether it be using Power Apps as part of this, whether it be using straight into Office 365, whether it be presentations or Word or email, and then, of course, using it Dynamics 365 as well, perhaps plugging that right into supply chains if you're that side of the business. And so the ability to take this data, take this learning, take this intelligence, and pipe it all the way through, this is incredibly powerful. And again, take that back from the original GPU demo. How do you get that intelligence out of the system? That, of course, is the front part of your application story. And so overall, this application intelligence, it really is about agility. It really is about being able to make changes quickly. It's about trying to learn from your system. It's about taking your infrastructure, deploying quickly, how the VMs can spin up very fast, how you can pick the VM size that's going to be perfect for your application, and how you can very, very quickly change your app as you need to, based on customer demand, based on usage. But then app modernization takes that infrastructure even further. It takes solutions like microservice-based applications, takes web solutions, mobile solutions, and of course functions, event-based solutions, and enables you to build apps much quicker, much faster, update them much faster. add containers on top of all that, and you start seeing the future direction of this platform. You start seeing the way in which these things will change further. You've got a consistent deployment model sitting on top of your app. Now you can actually focus on how you're going to update and deploy it very quickly, how you're going to manage that across a team of people. And that then gets you into DevOps. Take that to the next level above, and you've now got to figure out how you're doing that deployment across your wide variety of people that you've got, your different solutions, testers, developers, all your engineers. How are they going to engage and be able to manage this system across your entire environment? And then the intelligence of agility. How are you going to be able to take intelligence coming through your system, data coming through sensors, data coming from your customers, and be able to convert that into knowledge and then be able to predict the ways in which people will go, the ways in which choices will be made, and of course, the way in which your app will progress in the future. And so across all of these, your application is changing, and that's changing your businesses that you're a part of. And all of this is centered around that agility, that ability to move very, very quickly, very fast, respond to your customer needs, respond to the market, and be able to change solutions as you go. Thank you very much, and enjoy, of course, the rest of Tech Days.
Thank you. Thank you, Corey, so much. You want to try one more seven, or are you good?
What's that?
You want to try one more, Brian, one more seven?
If you want to switch over to my laptop, I did get it working, so I don't know if he can still do it. This is a curveball here.
Yes, let's try.
This worked. So I guess a lot of people write their sevens this way.
Yes.
But during the videos, I was trying a bunch, and this actually does work. So
I wanted to give you that tip,
yeah,
but you already figured it
thank
out.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm going to switch to Dutch. Dames en heren, dank jullie allemaal voor het kijken naar de keynote. We wensen jullie een fantastische 2 dagen Tech Days. Zometeen over 15 minuten 4 State of the Unions. Waarbij de cloud en productivity hier in het auditorium zal plaatsvinden. Namens Microsoft een hele fijne 2 dagen. Dank jullie wel.